You're listening to Faith and Family. I'm Andy Bates. Valentine's Day has come and gone with it. A film back in theaters. It's the sequel to a series we talked about last year, and what that means, what impact that has on us as a culture, as a society, but particularly what message does that send to young men, young women, regarding, well, how we value women and that relationship between men and women. What is appropriate? What does God's word have to say about the relationship between women and men? Talking about the 50 Shades of Grey series, the book and the movie series as well. And we're going to talk about that relationship between women and men and the message that that film and that book series send. And, well, what can we do to respond? How do we teach our children about this when they're faced with advertisements for this movie in mainstream media? Thanks to our underwriter, Concordia University, Wisconsin, for supporting Faith and Family. Find them on our website, kfuo.org. Look for them in the sponsor section, the CUW logo there. Check out more information about Concordia University, Wisconsin. In studio with me today, Deaconess Kim Shave. She serves as the chair of the LCMS Task Force on Domestic Violence and Child Abuse, as well as director of Project and Policy Administration in the office of the Chief Administrative Officer of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. Kim, welcome back.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for spending some time in studio with me this morning. Well, we made it through a year with the 50 Shades of Grey film out in theaters, and then all the way through the rest of its process on demand and video and things like that, and the message that it sends to our culture, society, particularly as both of us being parents, what message does that send to our children? It's that the film and the books have gained popularity and criticism. A new film out this year. Why do you think the film, well, now the sequel as well, have gained so much popularity? And we'll talk about why they've gained great criticism as well. Mm-hmm. Well, why do you think in our day and age they gain popularity? I think it's probably obvious, huh?
Well, I think increasingly our culture is becoming more sexualized. The values that we used to see of virtue and modesty are, you know, I hate to say all but disappearing, but we just seem to be in such a state where all those things that used to be taken as, you know, important for the family and wanting to keep that family together and protecting what God designed for the family, especially where procreation is concerned, to be this personal, private matter between a husband and a wife. And we're seeing increasingly where Hollywood is exploiting this. They're profiting immeasurably off of this phenomenon of, you know, these issues surrounding a heightened awareness of sexuality. We don't have to look too far to the recent Women's March that we saw globally. Just the, mm-hmm. the vulgarity, the signs, the costumes of female anatomical parts, where that's just seems to become the norm in this day and age. And we've really, I think, as the church, have to stand up. We are certainly not popular in doing so, but really looking again back at the values of what God has put in place. What does his word say about virtue? How modesty is valued?
Virtue and modesty, things that I think in the popular worldview are viewed as, well, those are quaint. Those are things of the past. Those are old fashioned. Mm-hmm. And perhaps not appealing.
Absolutely. Old fashioned. Certainly, you know, we're prudes. Here we are in the church. We don't understand this expression that it seems to be this normal, natural response to these feelings of love between a man and a woman. Well, that's not true. Our word of God is, we could say that's old-fashioned as well, but it's historic. It's of value to us as Christians because it's there to protect us and put these relationships within boundaries that are helpful, not harmful, as this movie and the books depict.
You know, there's a in my mind, and maybe this is just in my own little mind, the little microcosm of my world here, but you use the word expression as well, which is a common term used in today's worldview and popular, in lots of conversations in the public square. It's all about expression. Expression is all about who?
I'd say me.
It's all
what
about
I believe
me.
And, right.
And it benefits I mean, it's concerned primarily with me and my well-being.
Absolutely.
Now, you mentioned, now, if we were to compare that to the things you just mentioned, virtue and modesty, who is that primarily concerned with?
Well, I think, again, as from a Christian worldview standpoint, we're looking at acting in a way that's pleasing to God. Certainly, we're not a works righteousness, looking at that from that perspective in the Lutheran faith, but God does call us to model behavior that's going to be pleasing to Him and that's going to be of service to our neighbor, not
our
one
neighbor.
That would be damaging or harming our neighbor, exactly.
Virtue and modesty, I think, is all about my neighbor.
Right, absolutely.
I mean, some might not see it that way if you're not looking at this from a Christian worldview, but virtue and modesty are about caring for my neighbor, protecting my neighbor. When it comes to modesty, we're talking about young men and young women, mm-hmm. it's about protecting my neighbor, my brother, my sister in Christ,
right,
doing what I can to protect them and their virtues, their morality.
Absolutely. Lead us not into temptation.
Right.
Right.
Right. Whereas expression is all about me and my well-being.
Right. Right. I think there's a self-serving function of that. And when you look truly at what God designed for intimacy within the confines of a marriage between a man and a woman, there is that freedom to express yourselves, you know, individually or, you mm-hmm. know, through that one flesh union, but it's about service to one another. It's not about my selfish desires, what's going to give me power or control over another person. It's about wanting to serve that person and, in a sense, relinquishing that power to allow someone else to have a leadership roll over you, if you're looking at mm-hmm. a male-female relationship within the confines of marriage.
And we'll get to that more.
Of course.
So, great criticism of this film. Why, and who has criticized this film?
Right. Just about everybody who's using logic to evaluate what's depicted in the book and in the movie. Specifically, there was an article, a scholarly article written by some, I think they were from Ohio State, some women's studies faculty members, and what they did, they took what they found in the book, the actions and behavior of the man in the movie, Christian, and then his partner, Anastasia, and in both accounts, for both of those individuals, they applied their behavior, their words, their actions to the very definition of what we see as intimate partner violence as defined by the Centers for Disease Control, and unequivocally found that their behaviors were consistent with what's defined as intimate partner violence. Not only her response to his behavior, but his behavior itself was considered abusive, in some cases violent, where, the physical abuse was in place, alcohol, and that stalking behavior manipulation is depicted in the series definitely aligns with what they would consider intimate partner violence potential. And the actors and actress that were in the movie, the original one, there was much said at the time of the release about how uncomfortable they were with filming these scenes. Certainly parents who are, as I was last Christmas, seeing a nice family movie and the trailer came on. And I'm, all of a sudden, I've talked to my children about intimacy and that one flesh union my husband, who's a pastor as well, has. But to have to see that on the screen the way it was depicted and spend my Christmas coming back and helping them understand what's wrong, countering the culture and what's being put before them, it was a little bit frustrating, to say the least.
You thought you were going to see a feel-good movie.
Yes, yes.
Something just fun for the family mm-hmm. to do on your vacation and... Mm-hmm. ended up being a life lesson about
exactly,
what talking about a worldview that's very popular worldview.
Right, absolutely.
It's a tough and uncomfortable topic.
It is. I was a little nervous coming in here. It's hard to talk
but
about.
But talking about it with your children.
Yes, definitely. I have three teenage daughters, a teenage son. He's a little more sheltered. I think the girls seem to have a little bit more knowledge of these things. And it was somewhat countercultural, even among their peer groups, taking an interest in this movie. And there were parties that were being thrown last year. I don't know what's quite happening this year, where it was centered around bringing the book and gathering with your girlfriends and reading this and celebrating it. And in my discussions with them, again, trying to reiterate what we've taught them. I think from when they were very small children and were first learning the catechism, that we have freedom to enjoy the bodies that God has designed. He's designed them the way that he has so that pleasure can be found. But that's designed to be within the confines of a one man, one woman, married unit. Mm-hmm. It's for our safety. It's for our protection. It's for our happiness. It's the security that's found in a relationship like that, that you aren't going to find in a relationship that's depicted in this movie or series.
Hmm. So having that conversation with your kids was uncomfortable.
I mean, I think we reiterated what they already knew, but we wanted to make sure that they weren't pulled into the hype. And it was very funny. A year later, just last week when I mentioned that I would be coming on the radio talking about it, my girls are just like, "Mom, that's really more for you old ladies that are sort of into this or interested in this sort of thing." I'm careful how I say it, but it's been called mommy porn. I think the middle life, you feel like maybe you're in a rut, maybe your marriage isn't as exciting, you're constantly running around, trying to care for children, perhaps you're working or just taking care of the house, those mundane chores, and this may garner a little attention and excitement for you. But it was very interesting to hear the kids say, "Us young girls, we know, we're not going to subject ourselves to abuse like that from a man. That's you older ladies that are looking at that." That was eye-opening.
Interesting.
Yeah.
So they viewed this as they're not the target audience for this film.
Right, or they're saying that women are being duped if they believe that this is an example of a healthier, desirable type of relationship. I think they see through the I almost called it the gray area, no pun intended, but just the kind of the fog that's surrounding this. They can see through it. And yeah, that might be for some people, but we also understand that's not what I want in a relationship with a young man. And I'm thankful for that.
That's to be commended. Obviously, there was much nurturing and teaching along the way that leads to that, that understanding that this is not an example of a healthy relationship that as described in God's word.
Absolutely.
So that was the conversation with your daughters.
I left my son. My husband got to talk about that one with him. So, I think we have always had the philosophy in our house about the respect and their siblings. We had four children within 5 years. So there's certainly that sibling rivalry and a little frustration on his part being the baby of the family with three older sisters. But he understands that need that we have to respect women, to treat them in a way that is going to help them understand the daughters of God that they are, that they deserve to be respected. Certainly never would you ever in any way harm a woman in the way the series depicts. Now, Luke, our son, was in karate with his older sister, and they used to have fun when they actually got partnered and could spar, and that was the only place it was allowed, in the dojo. But I think he has been raised with that understanding of having respect for women, treating her, especially if you're in a relationship, of some sort of romantic relationship, to treat her with the utmost respect, just modeling what God tells us in his word about the marriage. Christ is looking at his relationship with the church and how a husband would model that. That's certainly something we have tried to instill in our children as well.
What do you think the storyline of the books, the movies, convey, what message does this storyline convey to young men or to men of any age, really?
Yeah, I think it conveys that women want to be dominated, controlled, abused, where there's, even emotional manipulation, but emotional abuse, physical abuse, that's what women are looking for, that's their idea of sexy or romantic. And that's quite contrary to what we know as Christians. God's word does not in any way show a relationship or have anyone upheld as a model for emulating a relationship like what we see in this series.
So obviously the target audience for this film is women.
I think so.
But
they're bringing
message.
Their men along, though, too, to, that's why it's
the
Valentine's Day.
Poor guy that gets drug along on Valentine's Day to see this film and thinks, okay, my wife brought me or my girlfriend brought me to this movie because she thinks this is a good thing, and has such, they think that this guy, this the main character in this movie, is the epitome of what a man should be. Mm-hmm. Do you think is that?
I did read an article where that's somebody was pointing out. So the man who gets kind of dragged along begrudgingly to see this on Valentine's Day, if he's not comfortable behaving in that way or has no interest in doing that, where does that leave him? Because somebody who's been raised, especially as I've been saying, from a Christian worldview, you recognize that. You don't even have to sit through the hour and a half, 2 hour long movie to see how wrong this is. Just from the trailer, you can see it. So I don't know what that would communicate, but I sure know that for the men that I know in my life that are strong Christians, that would make them very uncomfortable and question.
What does that say to a man, particularly a Christian man? Because I respect women, because I respect my wife and value the gift that she is, acting in that way is, in a woman's mind, boring? Or
I don't, it may become across that way. I don't believe God intended for marriage to be boring. And
right.
I understand we fall in those ruts, but
right.
He may very well get that message. And I don't, yeah, it's a shame if that's the case, but.
Some might say that as an adult, I can watch this film, I can read the books, not be affected by it. And, you know, I'm an adult. I can make my own decisions. How would you respond to that in a conversation? Mm-hmm. You know, if you're visiting with your peers.
Well, it's funny. I was printing off an article last week here at work, and some of my coworkers noticed it, and I had to clarify, no, I'm going on to talk about how not to go see this movie. And the response was, well, how can you speak to this if you haven't actually seen the movie? And I said, well, I can very clearly speak to it. I don't need to watch pornography to know that pornography is wrong. And with the first book, I read enough excerpts online and was able to discern pretty readily that this was not a healthy relationship, and all the hoopla and controversy that was surrounding this from a more conservative worldview was certainly legitimate. I think if you go and see the shoot, it's just like anything with kids and video games, like I mentioned with pornography, what we know, what happens neurologically, the more your mind is exposed to these things, you're desensitized, you crave something more. I could give you statistics. I'm not prepared to do that right now, but how even the use of pornography, starting in a soft manner, the way something like this would be, but even for young men, needing to increase the response that they're looking for from it just increases to the mm-hmm. point where it's linked to child sexual abuse or other sexually abusive behavior. And the statistics are there. And that's why even when someone is discovered to be a child sex offender or a registered sex offender, one thing that usually the courts will not allow is for them to have they take away the ability or the freedom for them to have any kind of access to pornography, inappropriate type material like that. It's too difficult to overcome. I know some people, when this happened last year, there were Christians that I trust and admire that went to go see it for the sake of writing an article. But what they found was it triggered them. There's the trigger mechanism. If you were abused as either within a marriage relationship or perhaps as a child or somehow were subjected to sexual abuse, to see this again and see it on the big screen, it can very much be a trigger. So even if you go with the best of intentions to read the book or to see it, you may be allowing a whole lot of things to resurface that maybe you experienced earlier. And there's legitimacy to that you want to be a vocal advocate. You want to speak out against this type of movie or book or this type of Hollywood exploitation, so to speak. But we have to be very careful, I think, in how we do that. And lastly, I would say you're supporting financially Hollywood putting forth this example of a relationship that is not healthy. Certainly as Christians, we understand it's not, they're not even married. I mean, that's step number one. No matter what they do within that relationship, we might see as abuse if they're not married. So for them to have the level of intimacy they have, even apart from the abuse, is absolutely wrong. And to, again, see that escalate in the way the abuse is present, and then to support with our dollars a film like this and supporting Hollywood making another one and perhaps yet another one, that I don't think that's serving our purpose as well either.
How does this storyline distort the biblical notion of submission? We talked about that relationship earlier, and you talked about there, being manipulation and just the type of relationship. How does it distort this a biblical worldview of that relationship between woman and man.
Right. The series gives us a very distorted view of submission. There is this dominant sort of theme. There's supposed to be a safe word that's used when the abuse goes too far. I think we know we look to the word of God, and that his word is very clear. What submission results to or amounts to within the constraints or the confines of a biblical marriage between a man and a woman is the man is in a position where he is serving as a leader. He has a greater sacrifice in my mind. He has to give up his life and lay it down for her as Christ did the church. She is to respect him, to honor him, and to treat him in a way that is just respectful of the leadership position that God has put him in. And this is completely distorted. This allows young women to think that this abusive form of submission is acceptable because there's a perhaps pleasure attached to it for a time, but that pleasure is short-lived. When you look at the long-term relationship you would have in a marriage, that pleasure is surrounded or kind of couched in security and the sense that he's not going to leave, she's not going to leave. They're committed in this relationship for life. And that does give them some freedom to, trying to be careful what I say here, freedom within their intimacy and their relationship. It does give them freedom. But again, it's within the confines of having that security, just knowing that he's not going to hurt me. And the book and the series, in fact, depicts something altogether different. She is hurt.
How as a parent do you communicate, how do you convey this clear biblical message of the relationship between husband and man, and communicate how do you as a parent communicate that what this film is promoting, what this book is promoting, what we're hearing in this the worldview that it promotes is a distorted understanding of the relationship between man and woman?
Yeah, I would agree. I think it's important to start early and have age-appropriate discussions about intimacy with your children. There are plenty of books and resources available to help you with that if you're a little uncomfortable. But I think the more you get ahead of it, your children are going to be exposed to things at earlier and early ages with in school, even in Christian Lutheran schools. There are things that our kids are being exposed to because people are bringing their cell phones. They have their technology with them. They may have a different understanding of what's appropriate and what's not versus you as a parent. So have these discussions with your children, again, at an age-appropriate level. I have to share a resource. There's a parent survival guide to 50 Shades of Grey. Mm. There are several parts to this, and it talks very explicitly about how parents can counter this phenomenon, if that's what you want to call it. And she really does talk about speaking about intimacy from a very young age in terms that the children will understand.
And we do that. We talk about the importance of respecting one another and showing one another. We do that even through body language. I think that's modeled right in our home, that we show respect for one another and treat each other as gifts from the Lord at a very young age, with our toddler, trying to teach that this is the design and that mommies and daddies love and respect one another,
right,
and care for each other and for the children too within that family.
Absolutely. I think this whole point of domineering and being the authority over the other, we're about service. We're Christians. It's about serving the other. It's self-sacrificing service to one another, to meet their needs, to look outside of your own. And in response, your spouse is going to do the same in return. And that's the beauty of a relationship like this, the way that God designed it. I have to laugh. If you think about the Super Bowl commercials, I heard so many women just praising the Mr. Clean commercial. I don't know if you remember seeing that. He's really buff and he's cleaning the kitchen and I think the bathrooms. And that really, really, really impacted women. They felt that was a very funny commercial. What did he do? He wasn't horrible to her, abusive. He served, he cleaned,
Cleaning.
So there's a reason that women, are certainly looking at a commercial like that and laughing and seeing the beauty of it versus something like what we're talking about today with this series.
Now, you mentioned a parent's guide.
Yes. Yeah, her name, if you go to Miriam Grossman, MD.
Dr. Grossman.
Yeah, or just do a Google on the Parent Survival Guide to 50 Shades of Grey. It's very helpful.
We talked with her last year on this very subject as well. So we have a program you can find her on our website as well in the archives of on Faith and Family on KFUO.org. And we'll try to provide a link to that, her resource as well. Very helpful resource. She's written an interesting book as well on teaching children about intimacy at a young age, about that, about parents and kids. And it's a book about, I think, about a boy and his dog. And it just helps. It's a handy little book for teaching about that relationship between husband and wife as well, and teaching about intimacy at a young age. Kim, thanks so much for sharing with us and for your work on the Task Force on Domestic Violence and Child Abuse, and your work here at the LCMS International Center as well. And I look forward to our conversations in the future.
Thank you.
Coming up in just a little bit, more Faith and Family. Sarah checks in on disaster response, LCMS disaster response, and their work in Haiti.